Thank you, Tommy. I'm going to greet y'all in Jesus' name this morning. As I look at my notes, I see they're all here. I was hoping my page would be all blank or something, because I'm not really excited. Well, I'm excited, but yet I'm not with what I have to share. God has led me on a journey in many ways, and it's not all been easy. And through that, I want to share some of that this morning. My text is going to be out of Joshua 7. And I've titled the message, The Secret Place, and you may give it a subtitle of Secret Sins. And as I thought about what I was going to share, I had actually been thinking about this for the last month. They gave me a fair warning, and so I was actually in Belize when I first started thinking about what am I going to share? How is God going to lead me to what He wants me to share, not what I want to share? And so that's where some of this has come from. What I'm going to share at the end is going to be my story, what God has brought me through the last year and a half. And it's not been easy, but it's where God wants us. And He has each of us right where He wants us, even though sometimes we wonder what He is doing. So this is not something that I just read somewhere, but it's something that is a part of who I am. And as I was down in Belize and I was looking at the church there, and I've been going down to Belize now since my first time to Belize was in 1999. And I always go to Christie's church. Her dad's a pastor there. And I started looking at the church and I got a little bit critical. I was like, and right away I said, well, wait a minute. I can look at this church in Belize and the lack of growth. But then I started thinking, what about my church? Are we busting at the seams? Are we bringing in as many people as we possibly can? And I had to think, no, I'm not doing my part. It's not about what everybody else do. I'm not doing my part. I'm not inviting people in. I'm not doing what I should be doing. Because if I was doing what I'm to be doing, then the rest will follow suit. It's not about, and so as I began to prepare, and I realize I'm going to probably step on some toes this morning, but I want you to remember, I'm stepping on my toes, and my toes are still bleeding from what I've been through, and so it's very real to me, because that's just the reality of what God has laid on my heart. And as I was thinking, some questions came to mind. What about the growth of Shiloh? And then I had to think, you know, how many of us are praying for revival? How many of us are really praying for revival? Anybody? We have any hands out there? Some participation. How many of you really want to see the church grow? I think we all want to see the church grow. That's our desire. That's why God put us here, is to bring others to Christ. And that this was just some random questions that I was asking myself, and I'm going to ask you as well. Why then is the church not growing as I think it should, as maybe you think it should? Or maybe here's why am I not growing? What's hindering my growth? And that was brought me to this question. Is it maybe because the master deceiver has deceived us into thinking in some little secret kind of a way, as he did with Achan? I want to read now Joshua 7, verse 1. But the Israelites were unfaithful in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, just took some of them. So the Lord's anger was burned against Israel. Now, if you recall the story, there's right after they took Jericho. And this is where this account breaks in at. And I think most of us know the story of Achan, but we're going to dissect it a little bit more. We must understand we sin because we choose to. You know, we like sometimes say, well, the devil made us do it, or we come up with a lot of little different excuses. But ultimately, we sin because we choose to. Today, we'll look at what one man's sin cost him and cost the nation of Israel. He thought it was a secret. He thought he could get by without being caught. And my three main points to think about is, one, do we have secret sins? Number two is, what is it going to cost us in the church to have them? And then three is how to have victory over the secret sins. What about you? What about me? Do we have secret sins in our lives? Do we have things that we think we can get by with? Have we somehow accepted our secret sins as no big deal? Are they something that we think we can just slide under the table and nobody's going to know? Have we come to like and possibly cherish our secret sins? Or are they something that, yeah, we just think it's just going to affect me? Somehow we think it's okay to enjoy our secret sins. I believe Satan has deceived enough of us. And I say that because I walked that road for a long time. Sure, I came to church. I was Sunday school teacher. I was involved. But I would go home and do things that shouldn't have been done. And so, my question is how much of this is running in the church? And Satan likes to deceive us and think we're on an island. He thinks we're going through these things all by ourselves. And I'm here to say, no, we're not. Everybody has challenges. And we can't live this life on an island. He wants us to think that we're on an island. But God has already won the victory. And He wants us to claim it. But we have to be willing to do what He wants us to do in order to claim it. After all, we're not really hurting anybody. We don't think. We're still Christians, right? As we continue on living our secret lives, hiding our secret sins. We go on like there's nothing wrong, but something is really wrong. We're not only robbing ourselves, we're robbing God, and we're hurting the church. That's what happens when we become deceived and think that we can hide our secret sins. Let's read the rest of Joshua now. I'm going to just make some comments on it as we go through. Verse 2. Now Joshua sent some men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Bethaven, to the east of Bethel, and told them, "Go up and spy out the region." So the men went up and spied out Ai. When they returned to Joshua, they said, "Not all the army will have to go up against Ai. Send 2,000 or 3,000 men to take it. Do not weary the whole army, for only a few people live there." So about 3,000 went up, but they were routed by the men of Ai, who killed about 36 of them. They chased Israelites from the city gates as far as the stone quarries and struck them down on the slopes. At this, the hearts of the people melted in fear and became like water. We have to realize the first time Joshua went to Ai, he went on his own strength. He didn't consult God. He left God out of the picture, and then he wondered what happened. And that's what we do when we have our secret sins. Is we don't realize what we are doing. We don't realize that we are actually hindering ourselves and God's work, hiding those things. Verse 6, then Joshua tore his clothes, fell face down to the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there till evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan. Pardon your servant, Lord. What can I say now that Israel has been routed by its enemies? The Canaanites and the other people of the country will hear about this and will surround us and wipe out our name from the earth. What then will we do for your own great name?" After Joshua was faced with defeat, all of a sudden he was like, Lord, where are you at? Where are you at in this picture? Why did you allow this to happen?" And Joshua at this point didn't realize the cause of the failure. Joshua didn't realize there was sin in the camp. But I look at verse 10. And I look at that as, the Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up. What are you doing on your face? Israel has sinned. They have violated my covenant, which I have commanded them to keep. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen. They have lied. They have put them with their own possessions. That is why the Israelites cannot stand against their enemies. They turn their backs and run because they have been made liable to destruction. I will not be with you anymore unless you destroy whatever among you is devoted to destruction." And that's what we are doing when we hide secret sins. We're not only hurting ourselves, we're hurting the church, just as Achan did here with the Israelites way back. This isn't a new problem. It's a problem that's been around for a long time. And somehow we think that we can do it and get by with it. I thought I could do it and get by with it. Eventually, it catches up to you. Eventually, if we desire the will of God and God's call on our lives, He pulls the rug out from underneath us. He will deal with it. For a long time, I wondered what God meant. You know, be sure your sins will find you out. And I began to play with that. I try this and a little of that. Nothing happened. Don't ever forget about the parable of the law of sowing and reaping. What you reap, ye shall. What you sow, you shall reap. It will come back in ways you never thought possible. Young people, don't play with sin. Do not play with sin. Because it will come back. The devil is set out to kill, steal, and destroy. In any way possible, he's going to try to do that. He tries to get the family to fall. That's where he starts. But he likes to think that we can play with sin and get by with it. It doesn't happen. It don't work. Verse 13, go consecrate the people. Tell them, consecrate yourselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. There are devoted things among you, Israel. You cannot stand against your enemies until you remove them. In the morning, present yourselves, tribe by tribe. And the tribe the Lord chooses shall come forward, clan by clan. The clan the Lord chooses shall come forward, family by family. And the family the Lord chooses shall come forward, man by man. Whoever is caught with the devoted things shall be destroyed by fire, along with all that belongs to him. He has violated the covenant of the Lord and has done an outrageous thing in Israel. In Sunday school, we were talking about, you know, how we have grace, and I'm thankful for God's grace, because Achan never got to see the grace of God. Achan was dealt with. He was dealt with severely. Verse 16, early the next morning, Joshua had Israelites come forward, tribe by tribes, and Judah was chosen. And I'm going to just skip to the end of verse 18. Joshua had his family come forward man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zimri, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was chosen. And Joshua was called to call him out. And I had to think, what a charge Joshua had to take and carry out what God told him to do, and to be faithful. And to then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord, the God of Israel, and honor him. Tell me what you have done. Do not hide it from me." Achan was called to the carpet. He pretty much had nowhere to run. He had nowhere to go. He knew what he had done, and now he knew that it was time for it to come out. Achan replied, "It is true, I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. This is what I have done. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylonia, 200 shekels of silver, a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels. I coveted them and took them. They are hidden in the ground inside my tent with the silver underneath. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent. And there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver underneath. They took the things from the tent and brought them to Joshua and all the Israelites and spread them out before the Lord. Then Joshua, together with all Israel, took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver, the robe, the gold bar, his sons, his daughters, his cattle, his donkey, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, to the valley of Achor. Joshua said, "Why have you brought this trouble on us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned him. And after they had stoned the rest, they burned them. God will deal with us if we choose to hide secret sins in our lives. I think that the key to victory is it goes back to verse 10 when the Lord said to Joshua, "Stand up." And verse 13 is go consecrate the people, consecrate yourselves. James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that ye may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The key to victory is confession. Confess our sins one to another, and that's the only way to deal with them. Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." And we have to be willing to deal with those, because it's not easy. Nobody likes to admit that they have things in their lives that they're not happy with. But God gives us the grace. God gives us the strength. God gives us what we need to continue on. God has brought us through everything. He has brought us through in our lives to have us at the point He has us at. We think God makes, or there's maybe some accidents, or maybe God has made a mistake or two. No, God don't make no mistakes. We humans make bad decisions. We make bad decisions, but if we are willing to be used of God, He will turn those bad decisions into situations of which we can honor and glorify Him. Yes, it humbles us. Yes, it's not pleasant. But when we think of the last day, do you want to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my Lord." Or, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Those are our choices. And that's the sobering part of where we stand today. We have a choice to make, and I want to just read actually at Joshua 8, the first couple verses. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. You shall do to Ai and his king as you did to Jericho and its king, except you may carry off the plunder, the livestock, for your own selves." My point is, Achan got greedy. We get greedy. We think we should have things that other people have. We think we can do things and get by with it. And if we're just patient, and we just wait on God, He will give us everything that He sees is best for us. He's not going to give us something that's going to hurt us. And we think by hiding our secret sins that we can, I don't know what we think really, other than we can, and because at the end of the day, when you go in your closet and indulge in your secret sin, you don't come out feeling very good anyhow. And you wonder why am I doing this? What am I doing? Secret sins have to be cut off if we want the church to grow. We have to be willing to deal with them ourselves, or the church is going to be hindered. They have to be cut off. Secret doesn't have to be cut off if we truly want revival. I want to just end with this. About a year and a half is when God pulled the rug out from underneath me. A lot of things happened. But that's when I was able to realize God's got a plan for my life. I'm still not sure exactly what that is. I'm seeking. And I'm trying to be faithful in seeking exactly what that is. But He brought me to my knees, and I dealt with secret sins in my life. And I thank God that there's victory. I thank God that there are people that are willing to help us through those. And as I look at the church, I thank God for the church. I thank God for everybody He has placed in my life, because God makes no mistakes. As I look back over the course of my life and the many times I thought, you know, hey, I'm right where God wants me to be, I have been. Haven't always been as faithful as I should be, and I want to just confess that to the church. I haven't been. Before that, the last year and a half, what I should have been. And as I think about growing the church, and I look at, you know, what am I doing now to help grow the church? And my challenge is, what are we going to do about it? Because As long as we harbor secret sin, the church won't grow. And my desire is that we'd be willing to deal with those. In closing, I've asked Jeremy to play a song. It's actually the song that I thought about as God laid this out, and I struggled getting everything put together and my thoughts all arranged in order. That really talks about that whole thing, the whole thing of hiding secret sin. So Jeremy, if you go ahead and just play that song, and I just ask if anybody's been touched, anybody that would like to come forward, come forward. We'll pray with you. This is God's service. I just go ahead and play the song.
Like a house. One day I let the Savior in. There are many rooms where we would visit now and then. But then one day he saw that door. I knew the day had come too soon. I said, Jesus, I'm not ready to visit in that room, 'cause that's a place in my heart where even I don't go. I have some things hidden there. I don't want no one to know. But he handed me the key. Tears of love on his face.
Thank you. That's all I have.